So we left off last year discussing the machlokes, the Ravid and the Ritva. It started as a machlokes in Masechta Sukkah, but is now greatly impacting our sugya Masechta Pesachim. So the machlokes was, why can't you be yoitz with an esrog shel orla? The fact that you can't, that's a given. It's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah actually, it's a Mishnah and a Gemara. Why exactly is very unclear in the Gemara. So the Ravid develops this theory that anytime you have something that's asubah, no, by definition, it's not called machem. It's not yours. It's a chisaron bat. You can't own a davar asubah, no. And the Ritva says, where does that come from? Why should that be so? The Ritva says, we could split the world of your day and chashimishpat. In your day, the halacha says, you can't use it. But in chashimishpat, it still belongs to you. So we said that according to the Ravid, we have a whole series of Gemaras that are very easy to understand. First and foremost, Agamar. Agamar says that you can't be mevatel chametz if it's also banor. Ravid's easy. It's not yours. You can't be mevatel. You can't be mafkis. I mean, it doesn't belong to you in the first place. Don't get too smart to say, oh, it doesn't belong to you. Why? There's no better Rabbi Matze. We're ready to care that. I saw a cost to kill him b'shus. So that we already know from last week. So according to the Ravid, Agamar reads like a charm. The Gemara of Bakamadot Memhei also reads very smoothly. Gemara says, once something becomes a shor nisk, once bays in paskins, nigmar din, the shor is also banor. Hektishu in a mukdash, machur in machur. You can't sell anymore, you can't be makdash anymore, you can't sell, you can't be makdash, but you don't know. So according to the Ravid, all the Gemaras make sense. The problem is, according to the Ritva, none of the Gemaras make sense. According to the Ritva, it belongs to you in Chesha Mishpat. Why can't you be mafkir in himself in the Vav? Why can't you be makdash in the Babakam and the Hey? What's going on? So the Ketzos developed the whole Yisod from last week. That there's a concept in Allah called Shalom Eidu B'Shusa. The Ketzos did not make up that principle. That's a Gemara. But the Ketzos took it to whole new levels. So the Ketzos develops this idea that when you have something that belongs to you, but it's a Chisar being B'Shusa, the Ketav Ragozol, says, Eidu Yachal Hakdish, it's yours in terms of Chashimish B'Shalom, but it being Eidu B'Shusa is a Ma'ake from you being transferring it out of your issues. So therefore, the Gemara in Bava Kama reads very smoothly. Shor Nisko B'Shenig Medino is Machor in a Machor, Egdisho in a Mokdash. It's impossible because it's Shalom Yenu B'Shusso. Similarly, Agama, it's Chometz, it's also Banor, Shalom Yenu B'Shusso. Therefore, you can't transfer it out of your Shos, and therefore, you can't be Machla, can't be Mafra, etc. The issue that we're going to take, you know, we say this with the greatest degree of awe and trepidation, but the issue that we're going to take with the Ketzos is that the Ketzos' entire formulation, which the whole Ritva and Sukkah is hinging upon this Yisod of Shalom Yenu B'Shusso, this application of Shalom Yenu B'Shusso to Yisri Hanah can only be true if we go down a certain path of what Yenu B'Shusso is all about. That's what we spent a little bit of time in the Shem Friday beginning to develop. The Machlekes, the Balamor, and the Ramban. What exactly is the emphasis of Yenu B'Shusso? What makes something Yenu B'Shusso in the first place? We cannot extrapolate from the Yenu B'Shusso of Gezela to the Yenu B'Shusso, quote unquote, of Yisri Hanah, unless we understand what's making that clock tick in the first place. What was it about a Dover HaGozel that made it Yenu B'Shusso? So we developed the Chlekes Balamor and the Ramban, that's what Bechav of Gama. The Balamor claims that Yenu B'Shusso is defined by something that's you're not in control of. You're not in the driver's seat. You don't have your hands on this. You're not calling the shots. That's called Yenu B'Shusso. Ramban says, nah, that's not called Yenu B'Shusso. What makes something Yenu B'Shusso is the fact that the other fellow has a kidney gazelle on it. The other fellow, there's another person who's ma'akiv Yenu B'Shusso. There's another person who has a chrayis on it. The other person, he's in control. I'm not literally in control, but he's the one who is now the quote-unquote bialim vis-a-vis kinyan gazela. It's his kinyan gazela that's ma'akiv of Yenu B'Shusso. Over that machlokes b'amor and Ramban now is critical for us. Can we make the following equation? We got a little board of the following equation. Can we say a dover gozel is like a dover osav hanah? Is that true? So it depends. If you go down to the bottom more, that what defines in a b'shuso is lack of control, one could argue that a dover osav hanah is out of my control. It has been removed from my control. By who? Not by the gazlan, by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The fact that I can't use it because the halacha dictates that I can't use it, that's called not in my control. We're dealing with religious people here. I mean, the religious guys love them, but we'll leave that for another time, another place. But we're living by the Dini HaTorah. And if the Dini HaTorah say you can't use this orla, the Dini HaTorah say you can't use the Shor Nisko, the Dini HaTorah for Pesach of Davov say you can't use the Chametz for Pesach, That's called Eidah B'Shusa. Mali, the gazlan who steals it from me, who takes it out of my control. Mali, the Shulchan Aruch, that quote unquote steals it from me and takes it out of my control. So the Chor of the Ketzosis, host of Torah, of equating a Dover Asim Anah to a Dover Agozel makes perfect sense if you define the characteristic of Eidah B'Shusa as focusing on lack of control. However, if you go down the root of the Ramban and you say that what makes something Eidah B'Shusa is not your lack of control, the emphasis is not on you, the emphasis is on the enemy, the other guy. Because there's a third party, because there's another person here who has an ikuv on you. He has a kinyan gezela on your item. Once he develops kinyan gezela, that's the mafki of your b'shuscha. What the world is after with by Master Beno? What is after the world? It's after with Shoniskel. But the Shulchan Aruch has a kinyan gezela on your chametz. It's a joke. It's like Thomas. That if the focus is on kinyan gezela, obviously this comparison cannot possibly be correct. So, okay, this is not a tie against the Ketzos. This is just an observation. That the Ketzos' whole mahalach, his breakthrough, this is his one of the most famous Ketzos in Simit Avad, is this equation between the Dover Agozel and Dover Osabana. This is true in the worldview of the Balamor. But this approach to Ketzos cannot possibly be correct in the worldview of the Ramban. So it's just clear that the Ketzos was working with the understanding of the Balamor. What's interesting is the Ketzos, who he's told, we know everything. And he doesn't even make a note. I mean, Ketzos is fairly short sefer. If you think about it, Ketzos is not a long-winded sefer. It's a fairly short, concise sefer. So Ketzos is not mitzachais to the fact that this whole shtel term is really only fits into one Risha, only fits into the Balmor, doesn't fit into the Ramban. I wouldn't present that as a kasha. I would just, as an observation.
But even according to Balaam Ohr, just because the Torah tells me I can't enjoy something, whatever that reading is, what does that mean that I can't master it?
Well, once I can't, once I'm out of control of it, I'm not in total control of this item anymore.
But this or no, but it's not a function of control. But, no, I mean, the Torah doesn't want me to get benefit from it because there's something bad about the Chayyad. Right. Or they want to disconnect the God from the Pepsi.
Right.
Just because I can't enjoy something doesn't mean I can't master it.
That's the thing. The thing is that once you've developed, if you go down the route of the Balamor, that the real halach of Eidah B'Shusa is that the Torah is telling me that if you want to transfer ownership on something, you have to be the total and complete person who's, you have to be able to do anything and everything you want to do with this item. That's the chiddush of Eidah B'Shusa. When something is stolen from me, it's still mine. It has my name on the title. It's still, this car is 100% mine. Except that somebody else stole it. So when somebody else stole it, I can't drive it. So if I can't drive it, I can't enjoy it. I can't turn the radio on. I can't open the door. I can't use the trunk. I can't use the item. Torah says, B'chayagam, you can't transfer. That's the Chiddush HaTorah of Eidah B'Shusa. So it still says, what's the difference? Whether the reason why I can't enjoy the car is because somebody's stopping me, or I can't enjoy my animal because the Torah just took it away and made it to a Shohan Nisko. Once I'm not in control of this item physically, so then physically slash halachically, that becomes Eidah B'Shusa. I would probably form it the other way around. There's a sheet that says Yush is Hefka. Hefka is the starting point.
So, anyway, if I lost an item or an item that somebody was Messiah
Shah. Oh, but you're asking the billion dollar question. Said you can't be Mafka something, but you can't be Messiah Shah. Okay. I'm going to have to put that on hold. Okay. That may indicate something about this Sugya Mena. So the Chor, again, this is not a kasha. It's not like an earth-shattering challenge against itself. It's just an observation. But, again, we say it with trepidation, but Lefinius Daitia, Emes Yeridako, it's hard for me to say the words. I can't say that this is the Emes of Shandu Mitzvah. But the Ketzos is telling you, and I'll tell you why. And then I'll explain to you why the Ketzos didn't. Yeah, it's hard for me to say it, but the Ketzos didn't realize it's not the correct pshat in the mitzvah. Based on the following. If the Ketzos' pshat is 100% mishubud to the Balamor, there's no question about it. The Ketzos is the Balamor person in this one. L'chora, we have to try to understand, is the Ritva really in the Balamor's camp? Because the whole Ketzos is trying to be the Ash of the Ritva. That's the whole goal, because the Ritva was the one in Sukkah Nafmaday that says Pemole, that just because something is Asbana doesn't mean it's not yours. And that was the famous Ritva. So according to Ritva, what's going on in Pesach, what's going on in Bava Kamma, so the choice had to create this new model called Shlomo Ben Bishuso, thereby pushing the Ritva into the Baal Moske. What's the test case? The perfect litmus test, the way to determine who's right, Elmor and Ramban. What should be the nafkamina to the Balmor and Ramban? It's the few nafkaminas. One of them, which is a no-brainer nafkamina, would be an aveda. Something is lost from me. It's like my animal went off somewhere. It's walking around the forest somewhere. I have no idea where it is. Nobody stole it. It's an aveda. Can I be makdish an aveda now? Can I be mask an aveda now? Can I be meich an aveda a dovra of the many now? So it happens to be a machlekes yishayim. So the Ritva himself, in the beginning of Perek HaMafkid, happens to say that an aveda, that's okay. You can be mafkid aveda. You can be meichin aveda. You can be makdish aveda. No problem whatsoever. It's a one line Ritva at the beginning of the third Perek HaMafkid. It says that an aveda is not a gezela. What's pshat? Let's think for a second. An aveda is not a gezela. Why not? Or it depends. If you go down the route of the Ramban, that what creates in a Bishuso is the other fellow's kinyan, Gizela. Well, guess what? There is no other fellow here. If my animal's just strings a harum in the middle of the forest somewhere, nobody stole it. Nobody acquired a kinyan Gizela on it. And therefore, there's no reason to believe that Aveda is not Bishuso. However, if you go down the root of the Balamor, that the real ikov of Gizela, of Aveda Bishuso, focuses on the fact of a lack of physical control, modeling whether it's stolen. Probably when it's out in the forest somewhere. Well, the mice, I can't do anything with it. I can't use this animal. You know why? I have no idea where the animal is. So that's Ein Lecha, Dovashim, Shuzagog, Mizeh. So from the fact that the Ritva committed himself, we have explicit statement of the Ritva, Mamish Pemoli, of the Ritva, that an Aveda is considered to be a Dover Shever Shuzo, that clearly puts the Ritva into the camp of the Ramban, which is not a great surprise. The Ritva was the Talmud of the Ra'ah, was the Talmud of the Ramban. It's the same mindset, it's the same Mahalach, the same Derech HaLimud of the extension of the base manager of the Ramban. So not a great surprise. If that's the case, that the Ritva is squarely in the camp of the Ramban, how in the world can we pin on the Ritva to say that Devarim HaAsur Rambanah are Eina B'Shusso? If an Aveda is called B'Shusso, how can a Devar HaAsur Rambanah not be B'Shusso? That doesn't make sense. So now, isn't this obvious? Isn't this poshut? How come the Ketzos didn't see this? That's exactly what the Ketzos didn't see. It. The Ketzos knew exactly what the Ritva says about Baba Metzia. He himself calls the Ritva Baba Metzia in other contexts. He has kashas on the Ritva about it. He knew this Ritva in Baba Metzia, he knew cold. You know what the Ketzos didn't know? He didn't know the Ritva in Sukkah. Not that he didn't know it. Who do you think wrote it? He wrote the Rashba wrote it. He himself called it. He said, until the land of the 8th Rambam, somebody wrote the Rashba. That's what's said on the book. In the Library of Congress, it's Chedusha Rashba. He quotes it as the Rashba. So, in a time in the Ketzos, the Ketzos knew the Ritva, but he didn't realize that this was the Ritva speaking. Lefani is the idea. That's what the Ketzos said when he said it's in Tofa. So, the Ketzos is Yisoid that a Dovra also got no, a Shalovi to Bishuso could be Emes Lamitoi. If you don't like the Balmor. But to say it, to plug it into the Ritva and Sukkah, which is the Rishon who were trying to be Yashayt, Lefiyanis night doesn't fit. That's again, this is the horror of Alma. Lefiyanis night doesn't fit. So it's very nice to argue with the choice. What pshat can we offer? So now we're back to square one, back to where we were on Friday, back to where we were last Wednesday. So the Ritva and Sukkah now Lamedei says, Pem Molei, when something is awesome, I know it's blood chilling. It's still considered to be yours. So what's pshat and psochem the book? What's pshat and kamen and hey? Why can't you be mivato chometz liachas bani sura? Why can't you sell shanisko liachas bani sura? What's going on? So the chora, you have to take a little bit of a different approach. In learning, it's like in learning it in life, there are two fundamentally different approaches. We sometimes take one type of thing, the other, how we deal with problems in life. Very often you have like a few different challenges. So you take the all-encompassing approach. We're going to knock off all the problems with one solution. So there's one Yisoy that permeates the entire sugya and answers everything. Sometimes you have like five different problems. There is no one grandiose solution. You have to deal with this problem on its own, and then you got to come up with a different solution for that. You do all different five problems, and each one solved on its own. So the Ketzos in this sugya took that one approach. He has two kashas. He has a Gemara in Pesach of Davov that says you can't be mivat b'chavetz lachas bani surah. He's got a Gemara in Bekamim and Heim Avov that says you can't sell a shranis lachas bani surah. His challenge is the Midvos says the Davros Osmano. Midvos slash Rashba says the Davros Osmano belongs to you. Two Gemaras, one you side. We're going to suggest now, no, that's not the pshat. Each Gemara has to be looked at independently. Each Gemara has to be understood in its own light, not as a global question. There's a reason why Bittul Chametz is different. There's a reason why Shor Nisroel is different. We have to now figure out what that reason is. So there is a Chassam Sofer that develops a Yisod and has Sugya, Bailus B'Suri Hanav. It appears also in the Nesivis. We're going to quote from the Chassam Sofer for the following reason, that this Tshuva, the Chassam Sofer, it's, I find, one of the most fascinating Tshuvas of all time in the Chassam Sofer. Not so much because the Lomdus is great, but a lot of great Tshuvas in the Lomdus. But it gives you a personal side of the Chassam Sofer you don't always get. The Chassam Sofer opens up the tshuva by apologizing. He apologizes to the Shayel that he has to write the tshuva very, very quickly because the Pony Express is leaving Pressburg soon. And in those days, the mailman came once a month or so. If you want to get your letter back, if you don't send it now, who knows when the mailman's going to come again. So he apologized for writing a quick tshuva. Quick tshuva is a four-page tshuva. Well, the writing good tshuva. And then he writes, I'm going to give you just a rashi prochem and the sugi about it, Isuri Hanav. He writes a four-page tshuva, a lot of lumdus every mogul. It's the last paragraph that really gets to the heart and soul. The end of the tshuva, he writes that he apologizes once again that the tshuva was so quick. And he writes, I didn't have any access to svarim. That's why I had to write it, if I missed it, my mogul here with you, I didn't have access to any svarim. Not big, about four page tshuva, about everything other. Why doesn't he have, here's the punch, why doesn't he have access to any sperm? He says that his relative, his wife, just had a baby, and she hasn't been feeling so well, and she's sleeping, he writes in tshuva, she's sleeping in the room where his sperm are, and he knows that the mailman's readily, the pony's passed out the door, so he's got to get this letter out, and the other thing, his wife just had a baby, maybe she's not feeling well, so he writes, I can't wake up my wife, I have to get the letter out. So lays Brera. So I had no choice. I had to write from my memory. I had to write as best as I could to recreate the sugya of Bailus by Spice Rina. Right? It's a full page. We sometimes forget that all also people that they also had wives. Wives also had to sleep. They also had it's a good shout out for all the wives who encourage their husbands to come to Kol Bok in the morning, not to wake them up. So tell your wives that they made a good plug for them. So comes the Chassam Sofer in the middle of that hastily written tshuva. He says he thinks that Agamara is not a kasha in anything. Agamara is not relevant to the entire sugya. That he's saying, no, yes, belongs to you, don't belong to you. What? No pun intended. Manishtan, Allah, Chometz is different. Why is Chometz different? Chometz is not just a Dover Asabana. Chometz is totally different. Chometz is a Dover Tong Ibn Minoah. Chometz is something that the Torah says that you have to destroy. Chometz is something that it's not like bas mechal. Bas mechal, the Torah says it's a cheeseburger. Okay, it is a cheeseburger. So you can't use it. You don't have to go run and destroy it. It's probably not a good strategy to have it sitting in your fridge. But the Torah says you have to get rid of it. So you throw it in the neek. And you get a chance to throw it into the garbage. Chometz, by Rabbi Matzah Tashbisu, we spoke with that once or twice this year. Yeah, get rid of it. It's Tone Ibn Olam. Says Chassam Sofer, how can a Dovra Tone Ibn Olam be yours? Says Stephen Abbe, the Torah is telling you to get rid of it. Every second counts. How in the world can you own something with the Torah itself is Tone Ibn Olam? Comes Chassam Sofer and says, our Gemara that says once Chometz is also, but no, you can't be Mafka, you can't be Mavatle. Chometz is not the same as Orla. Orla is not Tone Ibn Mina Oila. When the Ritva said enough of an end sukkah that you can only surrender. Yeah, you can only surrender, such as Orla, which is not Tone Ibn Oila. So it's really asked the bomb kasha. What do you mean? It's not Tone Ibn Mina Oila, really? Isn't it Mina Nisrofin? Doesn't the Mishnah say Mesech is Tamura? All is Mina Nisrofin. Yeah, this is the Chassam Sofer Shitasai. It was a big machloikis between Chassam Sofer and Hishver. It's Hishver, Rabbi Kivega. Chassam Sofer, Chassam Sofer married him. I don't remember. I have to check the history books. Chassam Sofer was married his first wife died young. And I don't know whether this particular woman was having a baby, wasn't betraying his daughter. That part I have to check the years of Chum. I don't remember. But one of the Chassam Sofer's wives was a daughter of Kvegan. There was the Kvegan Chassam Sofer were basically contemporary. They're very small amount of years between them. But I think that this wife was significantly younger than the Chassam Sofer. Whatever the details, that part doesn't matter. So there was a machlokes in Rabbi Kvegan and the Chassam Sofer about that very clue that Israel raised. Dvar man nisrofen. Oral has been on nisrofen. Can I carry it on nisrofen? What does the words mean? So Rabbi Kvegan said, you know what it means? It means there's a mitzvah sreifa. You have to get up and burn your oral. You have an apple of oral, you're going to get that fire burned. Not all that different than chometz. There's a mitzvah of tashbis or chometz. There's a mitzvah of sreifas, oral sreifas, kilek kerem, etc. Some sefer says, there is no such thing. Some sefer says, nisrofin means that if you want to be sorif them, you have a right to be sorif them. You have a right to be sorif them. The Mishnah says, the context of that statement, Eilon Nisrofin, and Gemorin. So the Gemara says in Maseches Tmura is that if you take one of the nisrofin and you burn it, you can use the ashes. You can use the afers mutabada. If you take one of the nikbarin and you burn it, the ashes are also bada. So says Chazal, where does that come from? So says that's the chiddush of nisrofin. Nisrofin doesn't mean you have to burn it. Nisrofin means if and when you burn it, it now reverts to becoming a davar mutar. If you take a cheeseburger is not a nikbarin. You chose to burn the cheeseburger. It's black dust. It remains misura. Nisrofin and nikbarin doesn't mean you have to. Nisrofin and nikbarin means if you want to, you may do so, and you're going to get certain benefits of doing so. So Chassam Sofer held against Kvegan, that Nisrofin never meant it anyway. So that's exactly what it means. Chometz is literally has to be destroyed. Kedah Bailus. Orla, the Esri Shal Orla, and some of the thing. It's been on Nisrofin. That's very nice, but that's true, but irrelevant. So the Yabbat says, this machloikis, the didn't start. Okay, I'm sorry, it's Machlokes Rashi and Tosis. There's a Rashi in Temura that seems to say like Chassam Sofer, and there's a Tosis in Temura that seems to say like Rabbi Kvegan. This is an old Machlokes. It's ready back to the days of Mishnah. Some of you may remember we spoke about this. This more than once over the years. We spoke about this years ago. We had that issue with the remember the Clementines? Remember the Israeli Clementines? The oral Clementines. Somebody a couple of years ago, somebody came to me with a box of clementines from Eretz Yisrael. So I said, okay, big deal. And try. So not so simple. Apparently, there was some of the clementines that were coming from Eretz Yisrael were orla problems, were potential shadows of orla. What were they doing in the farmer's market in Bergenfield? So apparently, some of the clementines that were having some issues with them. So they were dafka not selling them in Eretz Yisrael. I think some of them got diverted to chutzlah. I don't know the whole background, but there was a real issue of certain amounts and percentage of Israeli clementines on the market several years ago that raised a red flag in kashrus in terms of the orla. So if they're trying to do the birur with some of the hashkacha people in Eretz Yisrael, I tell them I don't think you should eat the clementines. I can't. No one else was willing to sign off these clementines or not. A real concern about them. So now the question was, okay, so we're going to discard them. The question that was, do we have to burn them? Have to be serif the clementines. Yes. If you ask Israel, you got to burn them. You ask him, okay, burn them. So you don't have to burn it. So the question was, can we call this a sfeik? What's a sfeik? Maybe these oil men, we're not 100% sure this oil men were. One of the people I spoke to during Israel said to me, it's a 50-50 chance. I don't know whether he meant 50-50, like a real safe schmeitzer, you know, or something, a shuckle. Or he was just saying that he doesn't know the answer. Like, I wasn't sure what that meant. But those are just soft. Maybe it's oil, maybe it's not oil. Maybe there's no chiyus reifa. Maybe you don't have to burn oil. You just take, just wrap it up and throw it away. The person was not particularly interested in using the ashes of these clementines. He just wanted to get rid of them. So it's fake. So I remember at the time I spoke to Rabbi Shechter about this. Shechter had an issue with using speks fakes, but it's a say there's a chabas das, it's all shtel Torah. So Shechter thought maybe the more correct thing would be to do actually to stray from them and suffer. So others disagreed. There's a chashulchan was made, other mice have different opinions about what to do. So this particular person in our community wanted how when to get the opportunity to do a Sreifas Orla. So we organized a Sreifas Orla. So I told them to keep it on the hush and hush. I said, don't put this on YouTube. That's what this doesn't putting food for it. The last thing we want is to think, who knows what we should go and we are. It's just whatever you're doing, do it on the quiet side. Now, I think it was the same year, maybe the same year as the Sreifas Asherah. So that was a real mitzvah derais, the Sreifas Asherah. There's some strange mitzvahs you get to know. Remember when my kids were little, so every day I'd come up with a mitzvah note or something. I helped my mommy, clean up, I took my toys away, I washed my brother in the bathtub, those kinds of extended class mitzvahs. So there was one day where we did a beer of most Meister Sheni for Pesach in the third and sixth year. We did a beer of most Meister Sheni. The same day we did a Shuluch HaKen, and it was the beginning of Nisan. We did a Birch Seimonis. So I wrote a mitzvah note for my kids. I don't even think the Moran knew what maybe the Shuluch HaKen. I don't think they knew what beer Paris Meister Sheni was. But those. So I can just imagine if we did two mitzvahs today. We did we were Sarah Paris of Orla and we were Sarah for near and a Shea retreat. No, that's our standard 6-year-old mitzvah. So the bottom line is, because I'm sorry for solved half the problem. So we solved the Gemara Masechet Pesachim. I'm sorry still has not solved. He's not going to solve. We have to cover another mahalach. Is the Gemara Mabakamad of the hand of the Vav. The Gemara says that when something is a Shoah Nisko, then you can no longer be Meichwit, no longer be Machdish. It's out of your ability to transfer ownership on it. Why not? Bishlam, according to the Ketzais, who said, Edvar Masuma, no, Shalom Yen Bishuso. Okay, great. So it's Shalom Yen Bishuso, can't be Meich, can't be Machdish. But according to what we're suggesting, that is not the Ritva's Pshat. That cannot possibly be the Ritva's Pshat. Because the Ritva is a Ramban person, not a Balmah person. So we had to go scramble around to find a localized reason why you can't be involved in Chomet Zechaz Ma'isro. That reason is not going to be sure. This is not Tony Ibrahim. You cycle the Shoah, then you have to go run. Shoah is better like Borm. It's not even Minan Israel. It's one notch lower than Minan Israel. So what is it about Shoah Nisko that somehow declares it to be out of bounds? I can't be Machdish. Can't be Machdish. Why not? What's wrong with it? It's not Tony Ibrahim. We're not going down the Mahalakh of the Ketzai Sevedim Shusel. So that's the question mark. What is going on in Masechet Bava Kama? So tomorrow, we'll try to solve that riddle, to solve that dilemma. What is going wrong in Masechet Bava Kama that's preventing you from selling and remarketing the shortness? Which tomorrow, we'll try to put some of the final touches on this. You have to be circulate, but you don't have to get rid of the Nevela. Once it's short, it's gone. There's a mitzvah skila on it, but it's not totally wrong. You don't have to, it's not even been on the Shrafa. You can just leave it around. Tomorrow, we'll continue.